A good service at our early service at Epsom this morning, and then I hung around a little bit and had a bit of a chat and a little bit of a cup of tea, and on the way here I just felt a little bit rushed, you know, the way you can do, and let's get in here and let's get. But as I came in and the worship team were leading in worship, and then as Mike was praying, I felt my heart and my spirit being ministered to and lifted. And I just think it's so good that God is present here with us. And we have so many people within our congregation who know God and walk with God and are able to contribute in different ways into the life of our church. And so even walking in today, I was able to feel that and know that and have the sense of God lifting me. I suppose in some regards that fits in with the theme this morning. It takes all the people of God to do all the work of God. And it's so encouraging when people are involved in God's work. So next month, on the 15th of March, that will be my fifth anniversary of starting my ministry here in Greyfriars. I know for some of you that seemed like a long, long, long time. But for me, it has flown in so many ways. And so much has happened in those years. So, some of you won't have been here when my part of the journey started, and some of you have been here through that time, so you'll recognize some of this. I arrived in March. About 3 months later in June, we had a letter from the Presbyterian Church about earthquake issues in buildings, and that affected us. And so by December, we had moved from having our services in the church to meeting here. At the same time, and beginning to overlap that, we had an invitation to look at amalgamating with the Presbyterian Church at Epsom, where I've just come from, 2 kilometres away. And very quickly, the leadership came together and the congregation came together. And before you could say boo, we had actually done the official thing and become a church together. And then, sadly, Reverend Ron became very ill. And his recovery took some time, and not long after his recovering, he was called to St. Mark's. And so another change was taking place here. One of the things about that was that the vacancy gave us an opportunity to change our focus a little bit onto international ministries. And God blessed us by bringing Jay Chole to our staff. And again, Jay Chole, as we were praying, want to say how much we appreciate you and your ministry and the wonderful gifts of God that you bring to us. And then, most recently, Hannah, who has gone out with the young people, joined our staff to work with youth and with young adults. And so added to the ministries that were already part of Greyfriars at that time, we have seen developments with the light party and children's holiday programs, with youth group, international growth group, cultural activities. We've begun a prison ministry. And most importantly of all, we have seen people come to faith, accept Jesus as their Savior, be baptized here, and begin to grow as disciples. And all of that is just wonderful. Miracles from God blessing us in so many wonderful ways. Now, it's been an interesting first 5 years. When I came here, I was not prepared for the rapid rate of change that seems to be a part of Greyfriars' life. I'm not sure if it all just started happening after I got here, or if it had been going on for some time, But I would go home from work in the office or thing or a meeting, and I would say to Melanie, this has changed. This has come up. This is happening. And she would say to me after a period of time, she got it before I did, she said to me, John, change is the new normal. Get used to it. And so all this has been happening, wonderful things happening. And when I first arrived, so in my previous ministry at Tahunanui and Nelson, I had said to God, help me gain a picture, a vision, an image of what you are asking here. In Tahunanui, as I stood and prayed about that, it was as if I saw this great tree breaking through the floorboards and reaching out. And in that parish, it was in a sense that the church was to be a tree giving this shelter and fruitfulness to the community around it. And when I prayed, I'm not in Tahunanui anymore, God. I'm now in Auckland. I'm at Greyfriars. What are you going to say here? And almost before I had finished speaking that prayer, God gave me this very strong impression in a way that I knew was certainly from Him. And He said, you, not just meaning me, but meaning us as a church, He said, you are a ship set sail. Now, one of our church members kindly painted this picture of a ship sailing for me. And it hangs in my office as a constant reminder to me that we are a ship set sail. And as a ship, sometimes we're buffeted by the wind and by the waves or the currents of the ocean or the things that are going on around us. When this first came to me, I prayed, boomf, it came. And my next thought was, God, what on earth does that mean? Because at the time, it really didn't make a lot of sense to me. I could understand at Tahunanui what a tree was, but what is this stuff about a ship set sail? But increasingly it made sense as we've sailed through uncharted waters of the amalgamation, the building issues, staff changes, and new ministries. And through our congregational planning where ideas come up, and through our parish council inspire days, we have charted a course with the Lord and sometimes refined it or changed it. And then on the ship, over this time, for different reasons, some people have disembarked, while others have come and joined the crew. And so there seems to be this constant change, in a sense, of people who are part of Greyfriars, the crew, the gifts, the things that people have to offer us. So today in the bulletin, I have printed some of the blessings from 2016. And we've printed that for your encouragement, so that you can look at the things that God did last year, and you can see God's hand at work and give Him praise. Be thankful to Him. And also, if you've only been with us for a few weeks or maybe a month or so and you wonder what goes on at this church, you can look at that and you can see the types of things that you can expect to see happening in the year ahead. And as we look at those things, we know God has done great things. And as we step out into this new year, or sail out as the ships set sail again, we're going into a year knowing that God who is good, that God who is almighty, is able to take us and do wonderful things through us as a church, giving us hope for the year. So, for those of you who are new, we hope as you look at that and also as you think about things today, that you can see yourself as a part of the crew on the ship, and that you can find a way to be more involved in the ministries that we do, and that you can feel yourself being drawn to be part of God's family here, embraced by us, because I want to say that on behalf of the established members of our congregation, We welcome you and we embrace you with God's love so that you can be a part of our church and find the way that God will bless you here. But also to those who have been part of this church for quite some time. I hope you're able to look at that list and see in it the fruit of your labor in the Lord. And I don't just mean what you did last year, but some of you have been here many years, and your prayerfulness, your devotion, the things that you have done, the contribution that you have made over the years, finds its way flowing through into the fruitfulness of our church at this time, but also as we look back just on 2016. And I hope as you look at that list, you can read down that list and say, my prayers have been answered. The things that I hope for in the Lord, I see them unfolding. I see that God is here and doing wonderful things among us. You know, in the very few weeks that we've had already, our prison ministry team have gone into Mount Eden for the first time and will be doing so monthly through the year. At that prison service, there were grown men in tears. And it wasn't because of our singing. They had been confronted with the reality of things they had done in their lives. They were going through the judicial system, and suddenly they had to think. And some of them were thinking about the seeds that had been sown in their lives many, many years before. And in a sense, some of them were pouring out their hearts to us about their situation and their need for prayerfulness. And then also in this short time where we had our holiday, children's holiday club program, Dana in her report said this time there were a greater percentage of unchurched children, children who had no Christian background in their homes, coming along and being part of this holiday program. And for the very first time, the seeds of the gospel were being sown in their lives. And one of those children had talked to their parents and wanted to come along to Greyfriars. Now, I don't know if that has happened yet, or maybe it will happen. And another child, who obviously had some faith background, went home and said to her parents, I need a more grown-up Bible, because she wanted to go more deeply into the stories of faith, not simply with the children's Bible, but with something more. And I hope you see in all of this, this is God answering our prayers. This is real, tangible, spiritual advances in the kingdom of God. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And we can just simply praise God and give God thanks for these good things that are happening. Now, my intention this week is not to preach from a passage of Scripture. We do that most weeks, but this week, rather than doing that, what I'm trying to do is to apply and in some small sense to fulfill some scripture here this morning. Paul wrote, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And I want today to be a day of encouragement to your heart and to your soul. A day when you feel we are building each other up, even as I sensed it coming in, that God was here and willing to lift and to minister to us. Or as the writer to the Hebrews said, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I really enjoyed the version that Robert read from, which said stir. And I know we've got some stirrers among us. And this is your opportunity to bring out your stirring gift in a godly manner and stir one another up to love and good works. And in a sense, if someplace I want to then anchor this message in the words of Paul, who said, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you, nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So, just want to call a time out for a moment here and to think about things a little bit differently. One of the great blessings at Greyfriars is that many of you do give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. We could not have done so much in 2016 if this were not so. However, some of you overcommit yourselves to the work of the Lord. How does overcommitment happen? It happens when someone with a heart for the Lord sees a need and thinks, "I can help with that." And they do that for a while, and they see another need, and they think, "Oh, I can help with that too." And they see another need, and they think, "I can help with that. And I can help with that." And one day they wake up one morning and they find out they're helping with so many things that they can't bear the thought of coming along to church because they're starting to get stressed and burnt out. They take on things without relinquishing other ministries that they were doing. And some of you simply need to pause and check things out and possibly step back from some, not all, from some of the work that you're doing for the Lord. Now, maybe I'm wrong in my thinking with this, and I'll be quite happy for people to talk to me about it afterwards, but I think there's a difference between being fully committed to the Lord and fully committed to the work of the Lord. Perhaps in the general sense, the work of the Lord, that's okay, but when we think about the works that are there before us, perhaps we can become overcommitted. We can be fully committed to the Lord by giving ourselves to Him, by recognizing what He has done for us and stepping into His kingdom, giving Him our heart, our mind, our soul, all of these things for Him. In a sense, that is who we are as God's children, who He has made us to be. But then I think there's a difference between being fully committed to the Lord and fully committed to the works of the Lord. Because those works are about the things we do out of our relationship with the Lord. And sometimes, for whatever reason, we end up taking on more than even the Lord is perhaps asking us to do. And sometimes we need to step back. And I think we need to confuse both who we are, our being, and what we do are important, and they are joined together, but we shouldn't confuse the two. We shouldn't confuse the two. And I've had this time out because I don't want people who are already overcommitted to ministry to think, "There is John, and yet again at the start of the year he's giving us a pep talk so that I'll feel guilty and do something more and add it to my list of things to do." And I don't want you to feel that way at all, even as I bring this challenge today. But there are a number of you sitting there who haven't yet found a ministry or place of service in the life of the church. And I can understand this can be for good reasons, with age or health or family commitments, settling into a new city, finding your feet at a new job, beginning a new course of study that demands your attention. God knows all this and understands all this. And the reality is, though, you cannot be a Christian without also living that out in some form of service for Him. I've been reading a book recently by Christopher Wright on mission, and I have mentioned this in the latest monthly messenger if you want to read this again later. He says, if God blesses you, it is so you can bless others. If God redeems you, it is so you can demonstrate redemptive grace to others. If God loves you, feeds you, and clothes you, then you should go and do likewise for others. If God brings you into the light of salvation, it is so you can shine with a light that attracts others to the same place. If you enjoy God's forgiveness, then make sure you forgive others, and so on. He adds, and so on, because the list is not complete, and you may have some of the so-ons to think about. God gives to us so we can be a channel of His blessings, that His blessings can flow through us. He does not give to us so that we can be like a vault in a bank and have the doors closed and locked and just contain the riches for ourselves. He wants us to be a blessing towards others. And this echoes in Paul's teaching in Romans 12. Each of us have been given gifts. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's encouraging, then get on with it and encourage people. If it's contributing to the needs of others, then be generous about how you do that. If it's leadership, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, really be cheerful in the way you show mercy. And we each have gifts and skills and experiences and resources that come from God. And we should be using them in our daily lives to help extend the kingdom of God. Some of us are overcommitted. Some of us are undercommitted. What we really want to find is that place where God is calling us to with what He has given us and how He has equipped us and the opportunities that are there for us. And so the question for all of us, whether we're looking at laying some responsibility down or picking some responsibility up, is to ask, what is God saying to me about my commitment in serving Him? It's not what is my wife or husband nudging me to do. It's not what is John up the front saying I should do. It's going before God and asking God, where do you want me to serve you this year? How do you want me to serve you this year? And to think, God, what have you given me that I can give to others? What have you placed on my heart? What we at one stage may have spoken about as a burden that God puts upon you, not to weigh you down, but to pull you in a particular direction to do this work for Him. And to ask yourself, what would it mean if I gave myself fully to the work of the Lord? And I want to say to you, listen. Listen for the voice of God, because when you ask Him what it is He wants you to do, He will tell you. Be aware and have your eyes and have your ears open, because God will nudge you, direct you, shine a light on your path, speak or say, do something in some way that you will know this is what it is God wants me to do. The thing is this, God isn't hiding it from you. God isn't making it hard for you to understand. God isn't waiting for the day when you appear in his presence and say, well, I hid this from you all along, and why didn't you find it? No, God will speak to you. God will let you know. God will place it on your heart, because God has a burden for you and for your family. God has a burden for this community and the city that He wants to share and have all of us involved in some way in His wonderful work. And maybe as you hear this scripture today and as you reflect on what we're thinking about, and perhaps taking it into the new year, I pray that someone will hear this as a call to full-time ministry. Perhaps as a minister in the PCANZ. Perhaps as a call to overseas mission. Perhaps as a call to train to be a youth worker or a children's worker. Or to give yourself to God in some form of ministry. And today, if you hear God's voice, respond to Him. Don't hold back. Don't be like Moses. The story of Moses I was reading this week, when God said to him, go and do this work for me. Oh, are you sure you got the right guy? And God again said to him, go, I'll be with you. Are you sure you got the right guy? And God showed him these signs with the staff. And Moses did these wonderful miracles God did for him. And still he said, are you sure? Are you sure? Don't be like that, friends. Don't be like that. When God says, this is what I want from you, quickly, quickly, obey him. Say, yes, I'll go with you. I don't know what it might mean. I don't know what it might cost. I don't know the obstacles I might see. But if you're called, then go. And for many of us, I misspoke at our earlier service. At the earlier service, I said, for many of us, this will simply be doing something at church. When in reality, there's nothing simple about it. It's a wonderful task. When God gives you a task, it's a task that will make a difference for eternity. You may not be able to see how that is going to work its way out. But when God calls you to something, it makes a difference. It really does make a difference. And I'm sorry at the other service I said simply, because that's just not the way to speak about this at all. So what is God placing on your heart? What is God calling you to? You'll notice we have a gifts and service summary form. I invite you to fill it in. I want everyone to fill it in. Even if you're already doing stuff, just tick the box that you're doing so that we know you're still happy to do that. Or put a cross if there's something you need to step back from. Or if there's something you want to step into, put a tick. Put lots of ticks. I hope you put many, many ticks on that form. And bring it in for Pat. There's a box at the back, and we'll have it there again next week. But make sure all of you put one of those in for us. That would be so, so helpful. And it would be challenging for so many of you to think, what am I going to do if I've got to actually tick a box and confess and say to someone, this is going to happen this year in my life? And I also want to encourage you in your commitment to God's work in our church. So many things. Be part of Barbecue Church over the next 3 Sunday evenings. Make a point of getting to know someone you haven't spoken with yet. Perhaps invite a friend or a neighbor, or maybe offer to help in some way in the running of the event. Even if the weather isn't so good, we're going ahead, because this is a spiritual thing and we'll have it in here if we can't have it out there. So come along. And our international growth group begins today. Very important ministry, especially as a way when sometimes new people arrive in the country and they're looking for a church to go to, and this to come to a welcoming church where they can have a group and talk together and get to know each other. This is so important. And it's called international because it is for people of all nationalities. All nationalities. And at the moment, mainly the people who are arriving in larger numbers are from Asia. And so that group is mainly an Asian group. But many of those people would just long to have a Western person come along and sit there and chat so they can start to tune their ears into the accent and begin to sort of speak together with someone who's Kiwi. And even if you can't come every time we have this, maybe to come once a month or something like that would be so helpful to that group. So think about joining us. And then this Thursday evening, we have our growth group kickoff. And this year, we want all the people who are part of all our growth groups to come along, enjoy some time together, share something that has been useful to you and to your group. And we also want people who don't come to our growth groups. Growth groups are places where you can study the Bible and talk it over together, meet and have fellowship and friendship and prayer. If you're not already part of one of our growth groups, then come along, hear what they're about, and perhaps you could join one. We're thinking of starting another one on Wednesday nights, and you could be part of that. There's so much starting and happening, I can't mention it all. You can see from the gift survey, wonderful things. So, I wonder what vision God is giving you for our church in this year. I want to see us faithfully follow Jesus, to thrive in faith, increase in spiritual health. Can you imagine the difference it would make if all of us together were contributing? Not just some, but all of us. Imagine the spiritual health. Imagine the spiritual breakthroughs. Imagine what we could achieve. Imagine how many people could be touched with the gospel. So then, let us give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. All this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.